healing. And so if you have a need this morning for prayer for healing, do come to the front at the conclusion of the service. And even, Carla, if it takes an extra moment, we'll wait for you. And the buses will wait for you as well. We want to invite you to turn to page 836 in the Pew Bible. God never ceases to amaze me. On a cold morning when we could all use a little uplift, he laid on my heart, and in the process of going through 1 Thessalonians, the subject of encouragement. So if you could use a little encouragement this morning, that's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 indeed is all about. Let's stand together as we honor God's word and read through 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, page 836 in the Pew Bible. And the scriptures tell us, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Father, indeed, there is no one who does not need encouragement, and we pray that your word would strengthen us today as we ponder it for these few moments. In our worship, may we draw closer to you, and Father, we pray that you would draw close to each of us and touch our hearts with that holy flame that removes all other influences and lifts us in the presence and power and peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And for a few moments, let's just think about this chapter. Charles Stanley, in one of my study Bibles, made this comment about this chapter. He says, "What does encouragement mean to you? Can you recall a time when someone came alongside you for the sole purpose of lifting your spirits? Sometimes it takes only one word, a smile or a grasp of the hand, to hearten someone who's experiencing a trial. In the early days of the church, believers badly needed encouragement. Societal pressures mounted, persecution multiplied, and few had access to the apostles' teaching. Very often, encouragement for the church came in the form of a person, just as Timothy in this text. And so, as we think about this morning, this thing of encouragement, I don't know about you, but I find I'm kind of in constant need of encouragement. It's a lovely thing when somebody sort of lifts your heart in the midst of all kinds of things. Have you ever noticed that trouble is not a loner? You know what I mean by that? Trouble never seems to come alone. There's always one thing and another and another and another. And if you read the first chapter of Job, you'll see exactly that. It sort of comes in layer after layer after layer. And life can be like that, can't it? There can be times where we just get hits and we wonder, well, where did that come from, you know? But this chapter sort of verse by verse is full of this word, encouragement. Look how often it is noticed. Indeed, if you have one of those nice electronic programs on your computer or phone, if you in the Bible program put in the word encouragement, you'll see it comes up in this chapter so much more often than in many other places. So as we think about this, you know, there's a sense in which Scripture here tells us some wonderful ways to encourage others. Now, the Thessalonian church belonged to the Lord Jesus. Paul had been there in Acts 17. We read how he preached the gospel and told that the problem is not what comes from the outside, but the sin that lives on the inside of the human heart. And you know, not a lot has changed because society and culture and many other things would tell us today, well, we're getting better and better and better and better and smarter and smarter and smarter and so on. And yet, we still try to address things from the outside when the Lord offers us salvation and cleansing in the heart and a transforming grace that brings us into fellowship with Him and trusting Christ. These folk had trusted the Lord, and Paul knew that they would face some things. Now, he is no longer with them, and so as we open the chapter, you see it starts with these words, when we could stand it no longer. You ever felt like that? I can't stand it any longer. I have to do something. But Paul could not go. He's concerned for these believers, and he could stand it no longer. So here's the first way to encourage. When you can't get a hands-on situation, when you can't go along to someone and say, you know, I just want to take a moment, and Laurel, I know there's a sore knee, and I just want to encourage you for a moment. That's kind of personal. I can get right down and say that. And Carla, I'm sorry about that sore toe. Thank God it wasn't worse than that. See, that's a moment of encouragement. But Paul couldn't go to them. So the first thing that he does is he brings them some help. And I love that thought, don't you? He sends Timothy, and as you think about this, here is a person who is sent to bring them help. He says in verse 2, we sent Timothy. Now, just look at who is Timothy, and oh, what Paul tells us about this one who was sent in his place. The messenger that went to the Thessalonians when they were going through tough times. Here are his qualifications listed here in this verse. He says that he is our brother in Christ. That's the first qualification. If we want to really encourage someone in their faith, you can't give what you haven't got. Timothy was a believer who loved the Lord and loved his people. A brother in Christ, and he goes on to say that he's a fellow worker, so he was a minister of God, a servant of God. So he didn't just pick somebody at random. He wanted to bring help that would be the best to lift them up in the midst of these trying circumstances. And he goes on here and says that he is Paul's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. So those are tremendous qualifications. Paul couldn't walk into that Thessalonian assembly himself, but he brings the kind of help that is so strong and dependable and has an amazing character in the love of Christ. Now, Timothy is given a twofold mission, and you'll see it there toward the end of that verse. He says, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, to establish them in the faith. And they're under difficulties, under temptations. Do you ever battle temptation? Now, we're in church, so be honest. And as I look at it, I see, no, not me. Not me. But you see, the truth is, we all battle temptation, don't we? And we need that help that comes along at just the right time. And oh, what a difference it makes. Timothy is sent with this mission to strengthen against the tempter and against temptation. And we need that, don't we? Are there not times in all of our lives when there's that whispering little voice on the inside that says, go ahead and do it. It'll feel so good. That's what you want. Grab it. But when we do, then it turns to dust and ashes, and shame and sin and grief fill our hearts and lives. This one who comes to bring help is there to strengthen against the tempter. And how would he do that? He would remind them of how God is at work. And he would remind them of what the Scriptures say, because it is the Word of God that gives us all the weapons that we need to stand against temptation and the tempter in the power of His Holy, the power of God's Holy Spirit. I think about a time in Northern Ireland when my friend had been murdered, and the tempter whispered to my heart, "Head back. Head back. You know how to do that." And you know, at the time when I was thinking about it, God sent a preacher all the way from the United States of America to preach in our Sunday night service so that he could just put his finger on my situation and let me know I didn't need to do that. I could trust the Master instead of going into that temptation and crashing and burning, as it were. I could say no. And you know, this preacher, he was kind of an amazing guy. I'm battling with depression and grief and all these kinds of things. And he has a smile a mile wide. And he said to me, you know, John, there are all kinds of things that come at us. Sometimes there's temptation. Sometimes there's difficulty. Sometimes there's real hardship. He said, you know, I fell off the church roof one day, 30 feet, and I broke this arm in so many, I don't know, he told me four or five places. And I said, so they took you to the hospital? Oh, yeah, he said, I went to the doctor. He said, what did the doctor tell you? He said, well, the doctor told me, Richard, you'll never be able to use that arm to do this and brush your hair again. You'll never scratch your nose with this arm again. You see, he's using that very arm. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh yeah, God is able in my circumstances, in the temptations that I face, He is able to help me and to lift me. In that case, He sent this man thousands of miles just for a worm like me. And you know, the Lord does not play favorites. He loves you. And whatever the issues you might face in that area of temptation, He is faithful and He is willing. And He brings along the help just as we cry out to Him. Strengthening of faith happens with each victory. Don't you love that old hymn that tells us each victory will help you some other to win? It says we can look over our shoulder and say, well, God help me with that, and He will help me with this. And He is the greatest encourager that I have ever known. How about you? The Lord our God. Paul knew there was potential of enemy attack and that he might unsettle things and they could be tempted to give up or give in to persecution. But they didn't, because he brought help through an encourager. There's a second thing here that we'll look at briefly. You see, Paul couldn't go, but he could still communicate. And I'm looking at this letter, and so are you. And it's been there through the centuries. What could he do? He could bring a word. Not only bring them some help in Timothy, but bring a word that would be powerful and comforting and help them to stand firm. Now, I think about a letter that encourages. This letter. Think of all the centuries since the Holy Spirit had Paul pen it, and how often it has brought a word to hearts and lives that face all kinds of incredible situations, and it demonstrates the faithfulness of God. Have you ever received in written form a word that came just at the right time and just in the right way? How amazing it is to know the touch of God's grace and His providence. His timing is so wonderful. Remember the day that my mother passed away. I was at work and a call came from the hospital to say, you better come nigh. And I drove like a maniac, and she was already in the presence of Jesus when I got there. And I remember looking at my dad and my brother and sister and the medical staff saying, somebody needs to take all the pieces and look after some things here. And I said, I'll do that. And I remember the brokenness of looking at the pieces in this plastic bag and thinking, wow, life comes down to this few possessions. Ah, but you know, when I got home that day, a telegram arrived. A friend who had heard, and the telegram was so simple and so profound. This is what it said. To be with Christ, which is far better. Talk about a written word that impacted my heart. Oh, my dear friends, you see, there are so many opportunities around us to bring help into someone's life. And they will never forget that because of Christ you did that. There are so many opportunities to bring a word in a note or whatever. And if you're like me, so many of them go by. But oh, wouldn't it be a great thing today to say, oh God, I would like to learn how to really encourage your children and your people and encourage others to become your children. You think about the law of sowing and reaping that's going on here. Paul sowed the gospel into their hearts, and now he is reaping the response that they send back word with Timothy to him to say, we're standing firm. You know what that's apt to do to a preacher? You know it. It's coming. Peter doesn't even have his camera, but yes! Standing firm. That was a word brought back to him. And so you see, this encouragement thing is a double-sided issue, isn't it? He sowed it into their lives, and they are sowing it into his. That report from Timothy here in the middle of this chapter, where he comes back and says to Paul, they are standing, they are walking with Christ, the tempter hasn't crushed them, they are his. And oh, wow, so good. There's a third thing in these few verses, and again, just quickly, we'll look at it to encourage our hearts. Not only does he bring help to them, not only does he bring a word to them, but he brings prayer to bear on their behalf. And here are three simple ways that you and I can encourage people as well. In verses 9 through 13, there is another way to encourage. Sometimes we can't make the distance, but prayer knows no distance. How does he pray for them? In verse 9, he says, how can we thank God enough for you? He's got thanksgiving, thankful for them. You know what? I challenge you sometime, take your church directory and walk through it and just pray, Lord, I'm so thankful for this one. So thankful. And he goes on, and he says that in verse 9, for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you. There is joy in God's presence because of the church. If I had a dollar for every time through the years that I hear all the things that are wrong with the church, I would be a multi-millionaire. But that's not what was in the heart of the apostle. He's filled with joy because of the church. Because you see, the church, when it's standing firm on the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, is God's instrument to touch this world with His power and His grace and His goodness. Earnest prayer, he says, constantly, night and day, I pray for you. I love that sense of he never stopped praying for them. Even though he was removed from them and all the rest, his prayer was consistent. It makes every difference in the world when we pray. I've just been reading an account of the life of John Hyde. Some people called him Praying Hyde. Others called him Hyde of the Shining Face. That's because when he was in the presence of God and came out, he had such a glow that people knew he's been with the Lord. Hyde asked as a missionary in India, God, would you give me one soul a day? And God honored it. And then he said, Lord, would you give me two souls a day? And God honored it. And then he said, Lord, by faith, would you give me four souls a day? And God honored it. You get the idea? As long as Hyde kept marching, God kept giving. Powerful. And then as his health breaks and he's going home to the United States, he stops in the United Kingdom. And Wilbur Chapman, a contemporary of D.L. Moody, is holding meetings, evangelistic meetings there. And it's hopeless. There's nobody coming. There's no interest. And Chapman asked John Hyde, would you come to the service tonight and just pray? Hyde came to the service. And as he prayed, the place filled up. And as he prayed, more than 50 surrendered their lives to Christ. Oh, I say, Lord, would you smite me with faith and prayer like that? To see lives impacted in such a way. Dear friends, you think about this chapter, it's full of encouragement, and I hope that it lifts your heart and soul this morning. Paul makes a request personally. He'd love to return to them. But you see, he's surrendered to God's will. And he makes a request corporately for them that they would have more love and strength and sanctification so that they would be a people prepared for the day that Jesus returns. That's a great prayer for us. God, would you give us more love and more strength to serve you and a greater sense of sanctification, closeness to you. Now, there are times when we all need encouragement, and there are times when any of us could be an encourager. And I just want to say, as I close these few thoughts this morning, oh, how thankful I am that you took time on this cold morning to come to worship Christ. But I know that any time that we get together, there are things in hearts. And it's not John who would be the encourager this morning. The Lord Jesus is the greatest encourager I know. And whatever your burden might be, whatever that need might be this morning, I want to encourage you as we close. Come, come for prayer. Father, we commit this word of your grace to our hearts. And we pray that your Spirit will lead us and teach us that there are times when we can bring help, and there are times when we can bring a word in season, and there are times all the time when we can bring prayer into the circumstances. So, Lord, would you add your touch to our hearts and lives and homes on this cold day. O great and almighty encourager, would you lift us and draw us close to yourself? And as we sing this closing song, may you be glorified as you encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask.
Would you stand with us and join us in song together? All creatures.